We are more than honored and happy to visit you. The UK, and in the seminary I have a friend and a classmate with relatives in London, and I visited London. We as a family myself, we never visited Ireland or Northern Ireland. In the seminary, we had a professor from Belfast, Brother Hamilton Moore, and we heard and we read a lot of things about your country. But God gave us the opportunity and the honor to be with you during these days, because in Christ, God opened the hearts, and in His plan, He gave us the opportunity to meet new friends and new brothers in Christ. In 2011, God opened the possibility to know Pastor Park, Brother David, as we call him in Romania, a friend, a pastor, and a brother in Christ. And I'm glad that God gave us this opportunity, and we are honored to visit you here. And thank you, Brother David. Thank you, Jonathan, and your families, that you gave us the opportunity to be with you, with the church, during this week. May God bless you, and may God reward everything you already and you will do for us. It's also our great honor to be in the fellowship of the church with those who love us and with those who help us in the work of the Lord. I know the Pastor Park and his family and their love for Romania. But also we knew the love for Romania from another friend from here. They became our friends, coming in Romania and helping us with a vacation Bible school during the summer. During this year, and I was very happy seeing the faces that I know, and we met in Romania. We had a wonderful time spending the week in the years that you visited us. And it's a blessing that I counted today, and I'm praising the Lord for you, and thank you again for your time and for your resources invested to be in Romania. We appreciate you as a church that you invest in the work for missions in Romania, and not only in Romania. But I'm here to tell you and to have a word of thanks before the Lord and before the church for everything you already done for us, helping with the VBS, helping the poor families, the container project, which helped us, and it's a real help for the poor families in our area, and also helping us with the showers for the gypsy in the colony. I visited with Pastor Park your church, and I was so glad to see the priority of your church for the mission and also the involvement to win souls here in this area and in other countries of the world, and especially your heart for Romania. My prayer is that the Lord will reward every prayer, every personal involvement or financial investments for the work of the Lord in Moldova Nova, with the children from school and their families, or with the gypsies' families for the colony. By the helping of our Lord, we started a project of a Christian school, and now there are 150 children which are involved in kindergarten, primary school, elementary school, and we are glad when the parents of the children, most of the children, are from outside the church. Many are Orthodox, are Catholic. They are coming in the church, and when there are celebrations with the school, they are in the church. The children sing songs from about our Lord and Christian songs, and we are thrilled to see them in the church listening the word from the Lord. We pray that their heart will be changed and the power of the Holy Spirit change their heart and receive Christ. It's a process. We know that God will work and the word of God will transform their lives. It's our prayer, and in this process is our joy to have you partners, and may God bless you and reward you all your efforts. I want to share with you insight from the word. It's an insight from a very, very known verse. It's my favorite verse. We in Romania named that verse the golden verse. It's a verse, it's a famous verse in the whole entire Bible. Many children as well as adults have memorized this verse in Sunday school or prayer meeting and Bible study. We memorize this verse with the children from school, and even they're coming from the Orthodox families. They know this verse. Even people who don't even go to church. And I had an experience once sharing the gospel with someone which didn't attend to our church. He told me that he never entered in a Baptist church, in a Christian church, never in an Orthodox church. But early in his childhood, his grandmother learned him a verse from the Bible. And he told me that he knows a verse from the Bible. And it was the verse that for sure you will recognize it, for sure you know it, and the children know that verse. Is the verse that we have in Scripture in John 3, verse 16. But knowing John verse 3, 16, and I will read it a little bit later. Memorizing, knowing John 3, 16, it's a good thing, but it's important, but it will not save you. What is important, you must believe. And many of us tonight, we believe what John 3:16 says. And it's something that we appropriate us. And it's something that it's a reality in our lives. But, I don't know you. There are some people here, maybe you heard that verse. Maybe you know that verse. But what it's saying in that verse, it's not the reality of your life. What does John 3:16 says? And if you want to turn with me in John 3 verse 16, the word from Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's interesting what John 3 verse 16 teaches us. And for me and for you tonight, it's important to know that John 3 verse 16, the most common verse in the Scriptures, when Brother David visited us, we visited poor families and we shared with them the gospel. There is a family, there are Christian they're not coming in our church, other Baptist church in the city. And they put this verse out outside on the walls of the house. And everyone who will pass on the road to see that verse, and everyone, if they go to groceries or they walk, they can read this verse. And it's important to know this verse, but more important is to know and to apply to our lives what it teaches us. And the first thing that John 3:16 teaches us is something about the greatest love that God has for every one of us. The reason why God loves us is because God is love. God in Himself is love. John chapter 4, verse 7 to 10 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that He might live through Him. In this love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin." John 3:16 teaches us that God is love, that God loves us, that God, the eternal God, God which cannot be seen, God which us cannot see Him, this God, it's a personal God, and He loves us. We saw His love when Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden and they fell in sin, and God gave them the new clothes and shared with them the love that covered their body as an image for every one of us, that will come a time when the Son of God, His precious Son, His only begotten Son, will be given for us to cover our sins. That's the love of God. It's the love of God that we saw it in protection in Joseph's lives. The love of God we saw in Abraham and in the plan that God had with Israel, with Moses, with His people. But coming close is the love of God that I felt, that you feel, when God solved our greatest problem, our sin, sent in the world our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that John 3:16 teaches us is not just that God is love and God loves us, but John 3:16 it shows us the objects of God's love. And here is a general term: for God so loved the world. But in that term, are you? Is my person? Is my family? And God, yes, loves the world, but He loves you. This means that God loves you, and it doesn't matter who you are, God loves you. You can be black or white, rich or poor, young or old, God loves you. It doesn't matter if you're good or bad, God loves you. And Paul in Romans chapter 5 says, when we were sinners, God so loved us that He sent His Son to die for us. No, not when we were just or when we are righteous, when we were in sin, when we were enemies of God, He loves us. He loves us. He loves you. The third thing that John 3:16 teaches us is that the love of God shown for you and for me was shown in our Lord and Savior, our Savior Jesus Christ. And when God showed His love in Christ, He showed His love in the sacrifice of His Son. And the verse says, He gave. And that term, He gave, means He planned that His Son to come on earth and to die for our sin. That meant sorrow, that meant sacrifice, that meant cross, tears, thorns, death, rejection. The love of God, it was shown in Christ, in His sacrifice on the cross. What is the sacrifice of God's love? It is Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the world. Romans 5 verse 8, Paul says, but God demonstrates His own love. He do not declare us love. He demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, was buried. But in the 3 days He rose up out of the grave with all the power in His hands. And the last thing that John 3:16 teaches us is the recipient of the gift of God's love. Because He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. What is the gift of God's love? Is the gift of eternal life. Is the great promise that God gives us. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin, and that is what we all deserve. In His justice, He had the right to give us the eternal punishment. But in His love, He gave us a gift. The gift in Christ, the eternal life. Whosoever believed in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And my joy is that whosoever includes the Romanians, the Irish, the black, the white, the yellow, the red, the rich, the poor, the straight, the liar, the cheater, the murderer, the other people which don't know Christ. Anybody who confess and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in Scripture, shall be saved. So, when we read from Scripture, or we memorize this verse, it's important to know these four things. God's great love, the object of God's love, it's you, it's me and my family, it's your person, it's the world. There are people from Romania, there are gypsies, there are poor people, there are rich people. You are the object of our Lord. From John 3:16, it's important to know the sacrifice of God's love, and that was His only begotten Son, and the recipient of the gift of God's love, and the great promise. Who believes in Him, in Christ, and receive Him as Lord and Savior, who repents and who confess their sin before Him, only mediator between man and God, will receive eternal life. That's the great assurance. In the end, because we love to sing. We want to close with a song. You will know the song. It's the assurance that I have, my family has. The assurance that we have Christ, that Jesus is mine. And it's so great blessing. It can be your blessing tonight. If you know Christ, it's the blessing of your life. Be content, be thankful to the Lord, and serve Him with all your power in what He calls you to do. Listen to Him. Be careful about all what He says in the Scriptures. But if you don't have this assurance, tonight can be the night when Christ can become your Lord and Savior. God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that everyone who will believe in Him do not perish and have everlasting life. May God bless you. Thank you once for everything you do and you will do and you already done for the ministry in Moldova Nova, for Maranatha Church, for us as a pastors there, for the work with the children in school, for the Roma people, for the colony. May God reward you all in physical and all His blessings that He wants to give you here on the earth, but also may that God bless you with eternal life, you and your families, and you all which are tonight. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washing His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Ce bucurie am în Iisus, o viață nouă El mi-a adus. Ce moștenire mi-a dăruit și pe vecie m-a mântuit. În veci cânta voi că-s fericit Iisus pe cruce m-a mântuit. În veci aceasta eu voi cânta, te-ador Iisuse, young. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen.
Voi crește și voi fi ca Iisus, voi crește și voi fi ca Iisus, doar cu El viața mea o voi asemăna. Nu vreau să semăn cu altcineva, voi crește atent ca să fie așa, voi semăna, voi semăna, voi semăna cu cineva, voi fi ca Iisus. Domnul Iisus când era mic și El trebuia să asculte de părinți, asculta în fiecare zi, învăța și la școală toate le știa. Voi crește și voi fi ca Iisus, voi crește și voi fi ca Iisus, doar cu El viața mea o voi asemăna. Nu vreau să semăn cu altcineva, voi crește atent ca să fie așa, voi semăna, voi semăna, voi semăna cu cineva, voi fi ca Iisus. Amin.
Hello. It's my joy and my privilege to spend this day and this week with Hebron, and we are full of joy and honored by the invitation that Pastor Park has done for our family to be together with you. I want to thank God for my wife that He blessed me with Corina. I thank God for the three wonderful kids that He had given us. We were married in 2007, in September. And I thank God for these wonderful years. I was blessed to have a godly wife that supported me into ministry. And God blessed us with Carissa, with Caleb, and with Chris. And since 2016, when I was called by God to pastor the church in Moldova Veche, I was also blessed in that year to meet Pastor David Park and the ministry team that was with him, through the kids that we were and are still part of the kindergarten and then school in Moldova Nova, where Pastor Sabine pastored that church, Maranatha Church. And we are so privileged that this year Pastor David Park and Brother Jonathan and his family are having us here. We thank God for this opportunity, and we are blessed to stay with you and to be able to fellowship today with you, and also looking forward for the week to be able to spend the time with the kids and the youth in the youth challenge. God has laid a verse on my heart for tonight. It's not going to be a sermon. Time is running, so I'm going to read the verse. The verse is, again, a well-known verse. And I have seen this morning at the prayer time that God has brought the same thought and the same idea that He has laid on my heart these days. The verse is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And the verse says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." One thing that was brought again and again this morning at the prayer time was the word revival. And Pastor David was sharing with us that in 1859, if I'm not mistaken, when the revival broke in North Ireland and in the areas around it, it was a time when God, through His Holy Spirit, started to move people and to bring people into salvation and to bring people before Him. Revival is what we still need so much today. We need God's touch, and we need His Holy Spirit to touch and move into our hearts and to feel the presence of the Lord. But something happens. As we are talking about revival, as we are reading books about revival, it seems that things seem to go nowhere because we don't look at the things that we should look. Revival will not come to our church or to this church or to any other church if we don't prepare our hearts and if we don't ask the Holy Spirit to work among us. It will not come by fortune, revival in our church. It will come when the people of God, and it's very important, verse 14 starts, "If my people..." The first thing that we have to understand today, in every day of our lives, if you want to experience the revival of God in our hearts and in our churches, the first thing and the primary thing is that we have to understand who we are in front of God. We have to understand what our identity is. We have to understand that we are the elect people. We are the chosen people of God. And it will start with that. This has to be the basic for the transformation of our life. Because if we are the people of God, the elect of God, we have to live differently than we are living today. We have to search in our hearts and see if what God requires of us, His people, His elect people, is what we are really living and doing. We have to search deep in our hearts and be honest with ourselves and see if what God wants for us, His people, is what we are really practicing. God will not work through us and in us, and He will not use us if we are not prepared and if we are not cleansed by His Holy Spirit. He will not use vessels that are not cleansed for Him. He paid such a high price for our salvation and for us to live for Him. And unfortunately, many times we do not live according to His expectations. And we cannot live without the Holy Spirit in us. So the first requirement is that we understand who we are. We have to understand that we belong to Him. We are His chosen and elect people. And from this, it goes forth. If my people, says the Lord, who are called by my name. His name is written on our hearts. His name is written in us. Do we honor His name by what we do? Do we honor His name by how we talk? Do we honor His name by what we watch? Do we honor His name by how we treat our wives, our kids, our neighbors? Do we honor His name by the way we act when we are away and nobody else sees us? We have to understand that we are His people and that we have His name on us and in our lives. And we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We ask that the Lord will sanctify us and that we'll leave ourselves open to His Spirit and His work, that He will transform us. If my people who are called by my name, Lord, help us live like that. Like people and as people who are called by His name and are His elect people. And then the requirements continue. Will humble themselves. Humility is an essential requirement for the revival of God to be brought upon us. God will not use me or any of us if we are not humbling ourselves. If we do not see as God sees us. Many times our spirituality or our spiritual pride will stop and will not let God and His ministry be done among us. Because when we see ourselves as higher than others, God is not praised through our life. Lord, help us understand that we have to humble ourselves for You to be able to work in us. If we look at John 3, verse 30, John the Baptist was saying that he has to decrease for Christ to increase. Lord, help us be humble. Be a humble people that will let Christ be seen among us and through us in the workplace, in the families, wherever we are, that God will do His ministry with us and through us, through our humble hearts. The text go on. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. I was so excited to see the church here praying. Praying before the time of worship at 12 o'clock. Praying in the morning Sunday. Praying before the church started in the afternoon. And prayer is a requirement for the revival to come. No revival was brought into any part of this world without prayer. And prayer is the necessity of every believer who wants to experience God in a higher way and to get closer to God. Lord, help us. Like the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Not just to say the right words, but to have the right heart before You. Lord, give us a heart that will pray like Apostle Paul was saying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Lord, help us learn from Jesus Christ when He gave us that example with that widow coming to the judge. And she never quit on asking for the judge to give her the right that she was supposed to receive. Her prayer was without ceasing. Lord, help us understand what prayer without ceasing is. And Christ said, our Lord said, if a ruler, if a judge who does not fear God will make right and justice to that woman, what about God, who loves His children? Will not God give justice to those who ask it without ceasing? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, will pray and seek my face, Jesus says that if we seek God, and if we do that with our whole being and with our heart open to God, and if we want to experience God, God will not let us down. God wants us to seek for Him. Like in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13, the Bible says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Lord, help us understand that you want all your children who really want to experience your presence in a special way and in a mighty way to humble, to pray, and to seek your face. And not just seek like others do. If God shows up, it's okay. If not, no. To seek until God will answer. Help us, Lord, seek your face and not give up until you show us your presence and you transform us and you do us according to your will and you put Christ in us and you make us according to His image. And the last requirement, turn from their wicked ways. You know, there's no repentance, genuine repentance, without turning away from sin. And I remember Saul, the king of the Jews, the first king of the Hebrews. He was repenting before God when he saw that David was better than him. But you know how much his repentance waited for him? How true was his repentance? The Bible tells that after that episode ended, the next day he started searching for David to kill him. Lord, help us understand that true repentance is when we turn away from our sin 180 degrees and we turn away and go in the other direction, the opposite direction. From the direction of sin, we go to the direction of God. Lord, help us hate sin as you hate it. And turn away from everything that's not pleasant to you. Because what we love will be what God loves. And what we will hate will be what God hates. Lord, help us like that. And when we are called by His name, when we humble ourselves, when we seek His face, turn from our wicked ways and pray, then the Lord says, I will hear from heaven. I believe the church from Ballymoney wants that God will hear their prayers for the youth revival and for the youth ministry this week. I believe the church of Hebron wants many people of this town to be saved. For God to answer your prayers and our prayers, we need to do our part. If we humble, We pray, we seek His face, and we turn away from sin. God will hear our prayers. Do you want your children to be saved? Do you want your parents to be saved? Do you want your relatives to be saved? You have to do what God requires. God will hear from heaven and will answer your prayers and our prayers. Then He will forgive sin. When we do all those things, God will come and will give us forgiveness of sin, and will see people transform. And the last thing that we'll see, and that's the final point and the result of the revival. Heal their land. Do you want your land to be healed? Do you want your land to be blessed? Do you want God to work in your country? Do not expect a transformation only through another prime minister or through another parliament or through other politicians. The change, the transformation has to start with me and with you, with every one of us. We cannot expect others to transform. We have to be the first to transform. Through a humble heart, through prayer, through seeking God with all our heart, and through sins that are put away when we turn away from our wicked ways. And then God will hear our prayers. God will forgive sins. And God will heal the land. Lord, help us see that in our families. Lord, help us see that in our church, in our town, in our area, and in our country. May God bless us all. Amen.